The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside, wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, asking to speak with you." But he said in reply to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hands towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. You'll notice this happening many times in this first reading and then also in the Gospel, where it says, "And Moses stretched out his hand." That's a huge, important moment right there, because in many ways, it's a sacramental moment. It's a sacramental action of a priest, really. It's just like the priest stretches out his hand, and then the Lord does something, showing just the instrumentality of Moses. Not that he does it of his own power, but it says, then the Lord acted in some kind of amazing and powerful and almighty way. It's the same thing that happens in the sacrament of reconciliation inside of the confessional, right? The priest outstretches his hand, and then the Lord acts to forgive you of your sins. Most of the time in the confessional, for each and every one of us, it's a battle against habits. Difficult habits that we have in our life, basically replacing vices with virtues in our life. And not all that long ago, I had read a book that maybe some of you had read, but it's just simply called Make Your Bed by Admiral William H. McCraven, who was a Navy SEAL. And it was actually, the book is very short, but it was based off of some commencement speeches that he had given, notably at the University of Texas in Austin. And so one of the things that he says, if you want to change the world, make your bed. That's one of the first things he starts out with and talks about how as Navy SEALs, you had to make your bed. And you're thinking in the beginning, why in the world does this have to be such an exacting process, that you could literally, and he said, and then whoever the sergeant is walking around is flipping a quarter, walking around the bed, just waiting, because he's going to bounce that quarter, and if it does not bounce, they're just going to tear the whole thing apart, and you're going to have to start over again. And then another lesson that's in that book, too, is he gives this amazing, amazing description that I think is just hilarious. And he said, so every once in a while, you'll have some sort of random or minor infraction. And so they'll just simply tell you, sugar cookie. And what sugar cookie means is that fully clothed, in your uniform, you go out into the ocean, you get completely wet, you come back out of the ocean, you roll around in the sand until you are completely covered in sand, kind of like a sugar cookie. And then that is how you have to go about the rest of your day. And so one of the days, and he said, it's usually something that they couldn't even tell. And so they said to him, they're like, "Do you know why you're a sugar cookie?" And then he was like, "No, sir," what he said, "because life's not fair. And the sooner that you realize that, the better off that you'll be." And that was one of the lessons. And so he said, get over being a sugar cookie and move forward. That was the lesson that they realized. When we look at this reading today for the Israelites in that particular situation, they're constantly going through battles. But what they were talking about in the book, what Admiral McCraven was speaking about, is those that cannot accept that concept of the sugar cookie really suffer in the military and usually end up dropping out before they ever become Navy SEALs, because they just couldn't deal with, this is not fair. And they're very vocal about it, and they say it all of the time. But those that can accept it will keep moving on. We celebrate St. Apollinaris, and we're wearing red. He was killed. It says, generally in his biographical accounts, it says he was under constant persecution. He was born in Antioch, so one of the centers of the church in the Eastern world, and then he became the bishop of Ravenna. Constant persecution was his, you know, episcopate. That was his life as a bishop. It doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, but it sounds very similar to the sugar cookie principle. And if not for having good and virtuous habits, having kind of an organized life, I doubt he probably would have been as effective a bishop as he was, and we wouldn't be celebrating him as a saint. So most of the time that we notice these things that need to happen in our life, it's correcting a lot of mess in our life. And by doing things that bring order to our life, they tend to reorder a whole lot of other things. In fact, one of the theses that I had written while I was in the seminary was about how sport and athletic life can positively influence your spiritual life. And the reason that I wrote about that is because I actually noticed it. I noticed it first, and then upon study and different things like that, it started to occur to me more, and it came together. I noticed that, like, many of the guys that I saw in the gym when I was in the gym, or many that I saw out on the soccer field, were the same guys that I saw that were 15 minutes early for Mass, which were the same guys that I saw that faithfully made their holy hours, which were the same guys that I saw who were praying the rosary when they walked to class every day. I was like, that's like a very curious thing. And I just started noticing these things together. Now, of course, with all these things, there can be an opposing vice, right? You put too much time into sports and athletics or the vanity of it all and things like that, that can become a vice. But in many ways, the practice makes you understand what a disciplined life looks like. So many of those men I noticed were like, if I am going to get good at praying and good at being in the presence of the Lord to become a good priest, it is going to require discipline, just like it did when I became good at the sport that I practice. And so in many ways, those principles that Admiral McRaven talks about are super, super important. And then we see the sacramental action of the Lord intervening for us. And one of the amazing things, too, is at the end of that, too, is in the confessional, why it's so powerful, you know, is because when somebody walks in there, it says at the very end, and they feared the Lord because they had saw the power that he had exercised. That's what happens when you come into the confessional. It's, you know, fearing the Lord. And I got this question very recently from a young person. I was at a house blessing, and then it was somebody's daughter, and she said to me, Father, what does fear of the Lord mean? Because I know, like, when I read those words, and again, this is a young person who's not used to the language, that's like kind of ancient old language. I was like, this is it, simply put. Fear of the Lord means that there is a God and I'm not him. And you recognize that in your life. And that's exactly what this moment, this deliverance, just like we're delivered from our sins in the confessional, this deliverance from the Egyptians, they realized the power of God. They were like, oh my goodness, there is a God and we're not God. And, you know, look at his awesome power in our life. So there's a submission to the almighty power of God. And so, again, just like in the gospel, everyone who does the will of the Father, what happens in that moment too? He stretches out his hands over his disciples and says, whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and my sister and my mother. So anytime we step through those doors of that confessional and we're ready to step back out into the world and get over ourselves and get over our sins and persevere, those are the ones who does the will of God. You just had your hand outstretched over you so that you can be sent out into the world to persevere. And so, you know, we put these habits in our life. We come to the confessional to change habits so that we can follow the will of God. God bless you all today.